The following is a RapRadioShow.com exclusive.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best New Show, The Rack.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up. Wake up and look at this line they're living in, man! The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand.
This is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks they found.
My gosh, could two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put something
like
that on there.
Yeah, look, as a lawyer, you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. Look, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
Huh? What?
I'm going to borrow your pad. I'm going to check out the rest of these.
Borrow the pad?
That's your flavor, man. I know.
Wait a minute.
To the bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Everyone, welcome to a very special edition of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. We're a little bit late this week. We normally air on Thursdays, but like we said, it's a special edition because, well, things sort of happened in my life this week, and I actually got a life for it. Right?
What?
Kind of shocking. And if you don't know who I am, of course, the host of the show, Lindsay Ward, and the man that's, you know, kind of getting feelings for, you know, Luke Harper just a little bit, maybe a little bit more than Brenda's getting about Bray Wyatt, is, of course, Sir Rockin.
Huh?
Sorry, I had a better intro on Wednesday.
She was trying to throw me under the bus Wednesday. That's what she was trying to do, and she's not going to be able to do it tonight. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show, yo.
You know what? If you have inklings for Luke Harper...
I don't. You're the one with the gene pool. Just saying.
I'm the one with the gene pool.
you're the one
that's trying to get me to have the Wyatt family's collective brethren, thank you very much. Just because I have ovaries doesn't mean you can rent them out to just anybody.
Wait, you didn't read the deal.
No, there is no deal. No.
It's in the fine print.
Screw your fine print. How about that?
Oh, hi everybody. Did you miss us?
It's going to be one of those nights, because yeah, we're sort of flying off the cuff just a little bit. No, this is not the new late night show, Tommy. No. This is a one-time only, potentially special Friday show that we're doing because, yeah, well, in case you didn't hear, Impact Wrestling was here live last night in Salt Lake City, and... thank you to the wonderful Jimmy J. ShopTNA.com. Go buy stuff now, please. I'm sure you'll appreciate it.
They have a tag team deal where you can buy one and get a second one for free.
Yes, so high five to Jimmy J for the tickets and helping to get me in. Greatly appreciate it. Very good friend, by the way. So hi, Jason. Call him Jason, sorry. We can cut this out later. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, sure we will. Anyway.
Anyway. But yeah, so I actually got a life. I actually went to Impact Wrestling last night, which was a blast, and we'll get into that in a minute. And then what we were going to do the show on Thursday, except Jason wanted to have dinner. So
Wednesday,
sorry. It's been a long 2 days. I got home at 4 o'clock this morning. Actually, Friday morning now, and maybe got 5 hours of sleep.
She
had to get my car fixed.
She was a busy beaver last night. I have the text to prove it.
Yeah, he has the text to prove it.
There's about 20 sitting here. I think. Even more, maybe.
I hope I didn't run up your text bill, by the way. Sorry.
No, you're good. Unlimited texting.
Okay, sweet!
Yeah.
So, we're going to kind of talk about my experience at Impact Wrestling last night, to begin with, at least, and then we'll get into Hell in a Cell, and we're actually going to talk a little bit about SmackDown tonight, because, well, something kind of awesome and not PG happened on that show.
People got up in each other's Kool-Aid. I'm just going to say that right now.
SmackDown got kinky.
Handcuffs, chains, cages.
Masks. Chains. Yeah. But before we get into all that, we're going to talk a little bit about Impact. And, well, I have to carry this by myself, you know.
I got one. You're good. I'll tell you.
Oh, we're good?
We're good.
So, would you like my general thoughts, or would you like to go match by match?
Let's go general thoughts, because, well, if you had a recap of the show last night, it was about 45 minutes of talking the first half of the show. First hour of last night's live show. So, what do you think overall of this show, because there's not much to really talk about besides Promo Mania last night.
Yeah, there were a lot of promos, which made it hard to hear because Impact, or TNA, I should say, doesn't fly their audio like WWE does. They have it all in one spot in the arena, so if you're in certain spots of the arena where I was actually up in the upper part of the bleachers where there weren't a lot of people sitting because they had moved everybody down. So I snuck into those seats because I was helping out with the merch stand before the show just because they were one guy down, so they asked me to help out. And so I just snuck into those seats once I got done and watched the show from there. So it was really hard to hear the audio, which, one, because it was in an awkward spot, and two, because they were absolutely booing Dixie out of the building.
She got booed, she got booed like crazy last night. She was...
Oh, they did not like Dixie Carter last night. No. No, they did not like her at all.
Lindsay will work for TNA within a year. No. Well, if she had a choice, she would. If there is a TNA within a year. That's a story for another day. Basically, she always helps out. She used to live in Nashville. She always helped out.
No, I didn't used to live in Nashville. I used to live in Atlanta. But like I said, I'm friends with Jimmy J., who, if you don't know who he is the merch guy for TNA, and I have known him for forever and a day. And every time TNA comes to town, I always help out with the merch stand.
Like you did one time in Nashville. Am I right?
I've helped out in Nashville. I've helped out in Atlanta. I've helped out here. Like pretty much whenever they're in town or close by, I come and help him out because I'm cheap labor, like that.
Give me a ticket. I will work.
Pretty much, that's how it goes. You get me into the show, and I will sell all the merchandise you want.
She's a professional shill.
Yeah. It's not a shill, it's a trade.
There you go.
It's a trade.
There you go. Anyway, back to the show. That's what we tangent.
Anyway, back to the show. That's how I got in, by the way. Just so everybody knows. So
basically,
the audio was hard to hear, but they booed Dixie. It was a fantastic crowd last night, which I'm wondering where the hell these people were when WWE came to town. Because clearly the rowdy people came out for Impact.
It was a Thursday. No one was in church, preparing for church.
Pretty much, yeah. That's probably how it went. I mean, you had... Everybody was really into the shows. It's a little bit less in the taped version. But for the live show, they were super into it. They were loud. They were having fun. There were people dressed up. I told Rock, it's like there was a group that came as Hogan, NWO Savage, and The Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
And when I mean they came in wrestling tights and everything.
They were prepared for a show.
They had wigs, they had fake beards. I mean, they came prepared. And not just, like, the guy that was dressed as Hogan had, like, the tie-dye tights, too. I was impressed.
Now, that's impressive. The general thought from it, what we saw on that show was, well, first the return of Mr. Anderson.
Oh, that was awesome.
Kind of everyone sort of expected him to show up last night, but what was the crowd like when he came out? Did they really go crazy for him?
Oh, they went crazy. They went nuts. I don't know how the crowd responses came across on TV, but they were loud generally most of the night.
TV was loud.
Anderson came out,
So the TV was loud.
And when Anderson came out, they popped.
Good.
So, and if we could learn not to talk at the same time.
That would be tremendous, I know.
Yeah.
Live show, things happen.
Flying by the cuff.
Off the cuff, tonight. So you had a live reaction from return from Mr. Anderson. What else was on the show? Oh yeah, the big storyline coming out of the show was AJ Styles defeating Bully Ray. Live thoughts.
Just because you didn't have the stipulation involved.
And there wasn't as many shenanigans.
There wasn't as many shenanigans, which was nice. They could focus more on the match. AJ was over like crazy. Bully was over like crazy. I mean, they came out, they had a really good match. AJ, I don't know if it made it to TV or not, but after the match, you had Dixie tell AJ to stay in the ring. She had a contract for him. Mm-hmm. Did that make it to TV?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know. Like, I wasn't sure, like, what made it to TV and what didn't. Because they
go ahead.
They didn't tell you when they were going to commercial. They only told you when they were coming out of commercial.
Ah.
And you could tell when they were in commercial because, like, when there weren't wrestling matches going on, then you had JB and Christy Hemme hyping up the crowd, and JB was doing his usual shtick of, you know, who wants to go backstage and meet, like, Kurt Angle or Sting or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they were doing that shtick. But, yeah, getting back to the original point, the AJ Bully match is really good.
Now,
and the conclusion to the match was real good.
Which saw Mr. Anderson interfere, stopping Bully from using the chain, and allowing AJ Styles to retain the World Heavyweight title. And then Dixie came out with her contract, loaded full of money, 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 money. And AJ turned it all down, turned down the car, turned down everything, and said he's going to bring the belt back for the people.
Yeah, and, you know, basically, and when he wiped the contract on his derriere, that got a huge pop. And then when he walked out and they showed him walking to the car and getting in the car and holding up the title as he drove off, that got a huge, huge reaction from the crowd, too. All
right, so I heard this point, and I'm going to steal it and bring it up here. So the crowd cheered for AJ leaving.
Yeah.
So they can no longer see him, so they cheered for him to go.
Yeah.
Kind of weird like that, huh?
Well, basically, they more cheered for the fact that he looked at Dixie and he said, you know, I'll take your car and I'll drive your car, and he walks out and he takes the car and he holds up the title as he's driving off.
But you get my point. They made this storyline where he walks out and the fans cheered.
Oh, trust me, I understand. I completely understand where you're coming from, but yeah, it was basically, I think, more AJ's defiance of Dixie.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Him leaving. But yeah, they popped hard when AJ got in the car and left.
That's the big storyline coming out. And are we getting into spoilers tonight?
If you would like to get into spoilers tonight, we can talk about spoilers, because I saw next week the Halloween special, and then I also got to see Explosion.
Alright, we'll get into the spoilers here in a minute as I pull up. I'll get up the sounder for it. Also on the show, you saw the Celebration.
Yeah, I was texting Rock during this, and I was going, oh my god, please, send out Storm and Gunner, send out Pat Influence, send out EY and Parks, send out anybody, please stop the pain.
And then one by one, they heard her cry, and they appeared.
They heard the cry of the lone fangirl, and yeah, Storm and Gunner came out, and then Bad Influence came out, and then Park and EY came out to break up the fight. But yeah, Storm and Gunner got a good pop. I don't remember if Bad Influence did or not. I don't think they did. I think they just kind of got a mild reaction. And then EY was over.
Mm-hmm. EY was over. Yeah, I would say Bad Influence, because they came out and just started to talk, so there was really no time to build for them.
But yeah, Mr. Storm, whew, have mercy. He looked fine last night. Why would you do that to me when I'm like in the same building with you?
He dressed up nice for you.
He did. He wore his church clothes and everything. It's like I hate you. That is just cruel. Don't tease your fangirls like that. That's just not even nice. But yeah, what was funny is during the break, they were actually throwing the protein bars to the crowd.
Nice.
But what was most impressive about that segment is Storm got an "We Want Beer" chant in Salt Lake City.
I know, right?
The chants were amazing. Let's see, is it for the first show or the second show? I think it's for the second show. They were chanting for Ethan Carter III's opponent, because they didn't know his name, had no idea who he was. They were chanting, "Let's go, Blue Guy."
Let's go, Blue Guy.
Yeah, they were chanting, "Let's go, Blue Guy, and Dewey Barnes trended worldwide on Twitter last night.
No. Trended number one in the U.S.
Well, they were saying worldwide.
Really? I saw was U.S.
Yeah, they were saying worldwide, but Dewey Barnes, hint, hint, wink, wink, keep an eye out, because you may see him again. By the way, congratulations to Mr. Barnes on his first and debut match in Impact Wrestling. Well done. If you don't know him, I'm going to pull a Wojcik.
Name dropper.
He is White Tiger from the Nashville wrestling scene. And he's a very sweet guy. So congratulations to him. He definitely deserves it. He's been busting his butt for TNA for 3 years now in their merch department. So good on him for finally getting a match and getting on TV.
He took on Ethan Carter III.
Who, when he came out, you could hear a pin drop.
Well, give it time.
Yeah, give it time. But yeah, EC3 really didn't get any reaction. I'm trying to think. The women were over.
All right, let's get into the women's thing, because you have a comment to make. I don't know if it was in this match. Yeah, I think it was the first show. Either way, it's still the women. Lady Tapa.
Okay, number one, Lady Tapa is huge. Like, she don't look that big on TV. Yeah, I don't want to get caught with her in a dark alley, okay? She's big. She's and tall. I mean, not fat, but she's tall.
Right.
She's a sizable individual. Mm-hmm. How about that? But my one complaint about Lady Tapa is she was managing Gail Kim on both shows, and her outfit. Well, I'm sure she likes it very much, and it's a nice outfit. I'm not trying to put down the outfit. It doesn't really suit what she does. And when she's standing at ringside and she's got her back to the crowd, it looks like she's wearing a ball gown with the skirt on, with the or the train or whatever it is.
All right.
They kind of maybe need to get her a new outfit.
Maybe.
Just something a little bit more suited to what she's doing for Gail. But yeah, ODB was over like a mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when she came out the first time, ooh, that was a pop.
Yeah, she got a big pop. Velvet got a big pop. Nobody really cared about Brooke. And Gail got a little bit of a reaction, but she got more booed than anything else.
Reaction is a reaction. Boo's a good reaction. Because she's, well, yeah, oh. a heel.
Oh, yeah. Gail got a reaction. Brooke was just kind of sort of... Mm-hmm. As I remember, I don't really...
I think she got a little bit of a reaction from what I remember.
I think she got a little something, but it wasn't anything big. It wasn't anything huge. Wasn't like what ODB and Velvet got.
No, 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 no. They were blown out. They blew them out the water.
Yeah. It's like ODB came out, Velvet came out, and then ODB came out, and it's like, yeah!
I think that was it for the first show. Which saw,
Oh, no, you forgot about the Angle Rude segment.
Oh, yeah, the Angle Rude segment. They had a confrontation between Angle and Rude. Angle basically said the same thing he said on Sunday. Then Rude came out, they bickered back and forth, and then they brawled a little bit. And basically they're gonna fight next week on Impact.
Again, Bobby, you're so pretty.
Now, this is where we say,
Spoiler alert!
What kind of robe was he wearing on the second show?
He was wearing the sparkly robe.
We don't have to go through all those spoilers, but we will say this. There was Halloween antics on the show.
There were Halloween antics, yes. Halloween antics abounded. They decorated for the Halloween episode. And what was really interesting about this was how they explained the second show.
Explain this.
Because basically, you know, it's like on the first show, especially in the Angle Rude confrontation, which is what they explained, they said, you know, Angle was not medically cleared. Mm-hmm. Well, in the second show, they then, you know, came out and said, well, Angle has now been medically cleared and has insisted on wrestling tonight. So they actually kept up kayfabe, which was kind of cool.
Well, that's good.
So yeah, but there was a break. There was probably about a five to 10 minute break, I would guess, in between the two episodes of Impact. And you know, JB was pretty much distracting everybody and said, you know, well, that concludes this portion of Impact. Or no, I don't think he even said that. I think he just said, you know, now we're getting ready to tape our Halloween episode of, you know, TNA Impact, which is going to air next week on Spike TV, and they hung up all the decorations, and Christy Hemme came out dressed as the Mad Hatter,
yeah.
So, there were Halloween antics.
It's Throwback Thursday, and Halloween antics, and a certain bearded fella is going to be blowing you out of the water with a costume.
Yes, and, well, a certain other fella... His brother might make an appearance. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah, we don't want to go any farther now, because that's a cool surprise.
Yeah, the way that they did that segment, I don't know where it's going to air in the show, but what they did, it was really cool. If you've read the spoilers, you know what I'm talking about, but it was really, really, really entertaining. It was one of the last things that they did on the show before they taped Explosion.
I would assume that's going to be earlier in the show.
I would bet it's earlier in the show. I really would. But it was... I think it was actually the last...
Yeah, it was the last thing they
taped. ...segment that they taped for Impact.
And by, according to my text, yeah, that was the last thing they taped for Explosion.
Yeah.
Which, when you were texting me that, I was like, wait, that's the ending? Because, you know, and they go, oh, yeah, they can mix it around. Now, the one big spoiler we're going to get to, so this is where we're going to play it again.
Spoiler alert!
Is what happens with the World Heavyweight Championship, because as we left Impact, AJ rode away.
Right. You saw Dixie come back out, and this was really, really hard to hear, because, again, their sound system wasn't the best, and Dixie was just getting absolutely booed.
Right.
I mean, they did not like her. But from what I heard from my vantage point is Dixie was not, she either stripped AJ of the title, or I initially actually thought she stripped him and said she's not going to recognize him as the champion. And so TNA has decided that They are instead going to hold a tournament to crown a new heavyweight champion, but Dixie basically tells AJ, you know, you can keep the car, you can keep the title, think of it as a parting gift from Dixie Carter. And basically she said, you know, AJ's playing dress up with the title because that's all it is now, is a costume. So Dixie then announced the tournament, where she brought out the seven guys that are going to be in the tournament. It's Joe, Aries, Storm. Crap, the Storm. I'm going to have to go to my phone. Because they brought them out all on stage. Hardy is one. Because this is what, like, the only time you got to see Joe and Hardy, which was a little, not going to lie, a little annoying. I wanted to actually see more.
Matt Hardy kind of ran on that a little bit on Twitter, saying Jeff Hardy should all be on the last tour. You have Storm, Joe, Angle, Hardy, Rude, and Sabin. You missed one to me, so I only have six here. They did an eight-man gauntlet.
Aries.
Aries. Okay. Aries is the seventh man, and they did a gauntlet for the eighth man, which, when I texted Lindsay, oh, I know who's going to win. And, well, they won.
But what was cool about the gauntlet match is, again, spoiler, we got to see Sting wrestle last night.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so...
Oh, wait. They put him in the gauntlet?
They put him in the gauntlet.
But he's never allowed to get a shot at the World Heavyweight title again.
Well, they put him in the gauntlet.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, you'll see why. Well, Magnus won, so we'll figure out why Sting was in the gauntlet.
I wonder why.
But yeah. It was a really cool experience to see Sting, because that was actually the first time I had ever seen Sting in my life.
Right.
I wasn't a WCW fan. I never watched WCW, so to experience Sting for the first time, it was really cool. And he got a huge ovation. The crowd was so into that match. It should come off absolutely incredible on TV.
They
from the crowd.
Into the show. Go ahead. Let, which was good.
It's going to be a little bit less just because I think they were tired, but there are going to be points where they're really, really, really into it. And they might edit more of a crowd reaction in. I don't know if they do that or not.
It depends.
Yeah, they were super into the gauntlet match just because Sting was in, and Sting was pretty much in the entire thing. So it was really cool to see him wrestle. And it was like, oh, cool. And then it's like you got to see pretty much everybody work except for Hardy. Hardy was the only one that didn't wrestle. Hardy and Joe were the only two that I didn't get to see wrestle.
Did Aries wrestle?
No, Aries didn't. Three. Sorry. No, did Aries wrestle?
No, he didn't wrestle.
No, so yeah, so you didn't get to see Joe, Hardy, or Aries wrestle, but you, at least they made an appearance. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I would have liked to have seen more of Aries. I would have liked to have seen more of Joe.
Right.
But I understand, you know, time constraints and everything, but my connection is wonky.
Your connection's a little wonky.
I'm not doing anything to it.
Oh, it was a little wonky. That's all I pointed out. Reading production chat on the air. Just pointed it out.
I could read our entire production chat about the Wyatts.
No, we're not.
Okay. But anyway, back to Impact. Yeah, overall, it was really good. It was a really good show. The crowd was really, really tired by the end of it.
Yeah, it was... because they went live, it was a really long taping.
Yeah, that's my one complaint about the entire experience. Well, actually, one of them, because there's one other one, is that it's a really, really long night. Even though it's only three and a half.
You went almost four. That's why it was long. If when they don't go live, it's a quicker show, but you had a live 2-hour program, so you got 2 hours and then you taped another hour and a half or so.
Yeah. So it's it's an extremely long night. I will definitely echo those sentiments of everybody who says that. It's a very, very, very long night, and you're very tired by the end of it, because it's like when they got to the explosion, the crowd couldn't be bothered. So it's going to look like crap for explosion. But for impact, it should look fine. But yeah, it's like people were leaving in the second hour, or in the second taping, and they were pretty much gone by explosion. So it's a really long night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way that they tape it, and you know that going in, that it's going to be long. But the live show was really good, at least from my standpoint. It's always a different experience, obviously, seeing it live versus watching it on TV, because you don't have the announcers, you don't have the same audio. And I told Rock it was kind of funny, because watching Impact took me back to watching some of these guys at the fairgrounds, especially when, you know, like Storm came out and crap, who else? EY and Joseph Park and Daniels and Kaz and pretty much all the TNA originals, to see all them again kind of took me back to those days, and there was a huge nostalgia feel, which was really nice, but it was really sad, because it's like I'm sitting in a, you know, a massive arena, and they're on TV, and they have a night. The set is nice. It's not overly impressive, but it's nice. Be complimentary of that.
Better than the National Days.
It's definitely better than the National Days. I'm sure it's way better than what they had in Orlando, but it's kind of, when you look at it, if you look at their TV in comparison to WWE TV, and there really is no comparison. And it's like, Impact is, for what they have, it's very, very, very good. But I would love to see them be able to get more. I would love to be able to see them grow into something bigger, into something more, because it still kind of had that indie feel to it, just a little bit. And I'm not entirely sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
All right.
So, but it was a great night. It was a fun night. My only other complaint, and I'm sure a lot of people have been bashing TNA for this today. I haven't seen, like, any of the news sites today because, well, yeah, today's been kind of insane. But it was okay attendance. The hard camera side was completely empty, because I don't think they were actually selling that side.
No, they don't. If they do, they move them around to fill TV.
But basically, the lower bowl, they only had the lower bowl open, and they had roped off half the arena, and really they only sold like two-thirds, I guess, of that half, and those two-thirds weren't full. So they moved, it was very apparent that they had moved a lot of people down onto the floor, because the floor was really packed, which is what they wanted. And then it's like up into, I guess, like that first tier of the bowl, mm-hmm. the lower bowl was pretty much full.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like up, when you moved up into that second tier, there was, you know, people thinned out, because I was sitting actually in the last row of the second tier of the lower bowl, and there was nobody around me at all.
Right.
So it was okay attendance. I would guess there were probably like maybe 1,300 to 1,500 there.
It's not bad. Pretty good.
No, it's not bad at all. Bad, and particularly since it was a really good crowd.
That's all that matters. It was a good crowd, solid crowd, loud crowd, and that's what you want. No matter if it's 50 people, 1,000 people, 2,000 people, that's what you want. Loud.
I wish that they had seen more. Or they had more people there with that same kind of crowd, because it was like, I felt really sad, because it's like, you know, they came all the way out here and they did this TV taping, and with everything that's going on with their TV, it's like, I wish they had just like one sellout. You know, I just wished, because it's like, that would be really cool to see them do.
Right. Well, that's why everyone needs to get out to Cincinnati, Ohio on November 7th. Buy some tickets. Get there. Sell it out as best you can for the final on-the-road taping of Impact Wrestling.
yes, please, if you're in the Cincinnati area or if you want to see Impact live, a TV taping before they go back to Orlando, go to Cincinnati, sell it out, be loud, have fun. I would highly recommend it. It was a great night, and it was wonderful to see everybody that I'm a fan of that, you know, we root for every week. And, yeah, it was just a really good night overall. I had a lot of fun.
Right.
And so, yeah. And on that note, I think that concludes Impact.
That does include Impact. And I'd say we take a break here, come back. Want to do Tweet of the Week?
If I have any tweets, yes. So let me see, and in the meantime, we'll take a break.
All right. You're the host.
Right, I'm the host of the show. So you're listening to The Rock right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And when we come back, we will be doing Tweet of the Week, and we're going to be talking all about Hell in the Cell and tonight's SmackDown and kind of how it got kinky. So you're listening to The Rock, and we will be right back.
Rednecks. You don't know a damn thing about my.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
About time this fucker called in. Hi, Mace.
Hey, I was on another phone call. Fuck you.
Oh, hey,
fucker. And fuck you, hold on, let's count them up. It's Rocks, one, fuck you. Will, that's two, fuck you. Tim, fuck you. Omega, fuck you. Lindsay, fuck you. Subway, fuck you.
Hey, man.
I was really fucked. Can I now have a kitten?
I was just going to offer everybody a cigarette, but whatever.
At least Mace remembers me when he runs down a list.
Yeah, fuck off. Fuck you.
I can barely remember yesterday, Tim.
Oh, fuck, can you guys call
oh,
me?
God, are you getting Tim's dino?
Yeah, I'm going to hit you, Will, but not before Mace does.
It's basically descended into, like, a circular roast.
Yeah, it's just another jerk-off podcast. Ask Mace.
Like, all of a sudden it popped up, and here's the whole gang, and I didn't have time to even pull up my pants while I was holding my dick.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I have been sent by TJ Omega, as he is one told me that my name and multiple orgasms should not be mentioned in the same sentence again, even though I was going to offer to have one to try to get the ratings up.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire, and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. I'd also like to give a big shout-out to all the guys and gals over at TNAAsylum.com. I will be writing a report of Impact probably tomorrow, and I will send it to you, so thank you so much for letting me do that, and you all can see my horrible writing, provided the grammar Nazi over here doesn't, you know, correct it for me.
I don't know what you're talking about. Commas.
He's a grammar Nazi.
I am not a grammar Nazi.
Commas. Okay. He's a grammar Nazi. He's a comma Nazi.
I'm not. I just, anyway. Not, we're not going to get into it.
We're not going to get into it.
No. Why should we?
So, SmackDown.
Huh?
Or Tweet of the Week. Let's actually do Tweet of the Week first.
Let's be professional. Let's do some tweets.
Okay.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
You're up.
I'm up? Okay, well, give me a second because my internet dropped while you were playing the jingle.
See, it's now your internet.
You know what? Your internet made my internet sick, so just shush. I have to go over there and, you know, hug it, because it needs a hug now, because your internet made it cry.
My internet did not make it cry. If my internet made it cry, it would have been out 2 weeks ago. Just point that one out.
All right, so, Natty Neidhart, at Nat by Nature. I hope to wipe the smile off at WWE AJ Lee's face tonight and create my own hashtag Hell in a Cell for her right here in hashtag WWE Mexico City, hashtag Dungeon Style. To which AJ responded, Dungeon Style? How about you buy me dinner first and we'll take it from there?
Have that one.
Beat you to it. Mm-hmm. Scott M. Fishman. Anyone who knocks on at my door dressed as the Wyatt family on Halloween gets all my candy. All the others get pennies.
Don't be giving out pennies.
And Rob Parks. So
hold on. Don't be giving out pennies. That's a bad Halloween candy, which we'll be getting into Saturday midnight-ish right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
Ooh. Well, speaking of Saturday midnight-ish, our very own Rob Parks. Who brought this asshole into our conversation in reference to Rock? I'm late because I'm fashionable. Hashtag Will for 420.
Asshole, right here.
Anyway, go.
Fake sports center Daniel Snyder gives in and changes names to Merlin Redskins. See, they want the name changed, so Merlin Redskins. AJ Lee, in the last hour, I have ruled it all over myself. I am currently even less aware of what day it is than previously mentioned. Big E Langston, if you can't beat them, join them. Or bring the ruckus. One of the two. Hashtag SmackDown. AJ Lee responds, nice work, E. Clearly, you're still on my payroll. He responds, oh, mama, your baby boy done flew the coop. Let's see. I'll be honest, Caitlin, WWE, this is Biggie Langston. That memory is very foggy. I'm pretty sure at WWE, AJ Lee has put something in my Kool-Aid. She started that out by saying, I may be willing to look past your unspeakable accents, you know, when you short arm clotheslined me and broke my heart. That's when he talked about the Kool-Aid, then she showed a picture of, well, him hitting her with the, you know, clothesline, and you're still blaming on the Kool-Aid? Not Bill Walton. On one hand, I hate the Jets won. On the other, I love that Tom Brady lost. I'm more confused than Ryan Seacrest. Wait. Not that much. Eli Manning, not Bill Walton, Eli Manning. Eli Manning is so confused by all the Josh Freeman incomplete passes. Eli is still a master of completing passes, especially to the opposite team.
Ooh.
Not Bill Walton. For Halloween, I'm going to put on a Josh Freeman jersey so I can throw candy 15 feet above kids' heads. Oh, the hilarity. Big E Langston, after I become the Intercontinental Champion, Hell in a Cell, I vow to travel the world as an ambassador for peace and skin-tight singlets.
Get the one where your booty hangs back out.
Not Bill Walton. Kanye West proposed to Kim Kardashian. This was a new experience for Kim. It was the first time where her man was kneeling down and not her. Kevin Nash, watch an old Impact. Do they not realize 50K and hundreds is 5 inches of $100 bills? Kevin Nash, am I the only person that's amazed that Samoa Joe is a 275-pound cruiserweight? One in a million.
Don't be knocking Joe. He gonna mess you up.
He gonna come mess you up. Joseph Park, JB, don't worry about those haters. Your hair didn't look that bad at Bound for Glory. Would you like the number to my stylist? At Jeremy Borges from Joseph Park, look at the bright side, JB. Your hair couldn't have looked any worse than Robbie E's did. That's Tweet of the Week.
So, alright, now we're going to do maybe a little mini recap of SmackDown before we get into... Hell in a Cell, just because, you know, it happened tonight, and some very, right. Very interesting things happened on all this right. Show.
Alright, we're not really doing a full recap. Here's one part we want to talk about. Go for it.
Bray Wyatt. What a shock, right? I'm going to talk about Bray Wyatt, because, you know, I'm not sickly madly in love with him already. So to set this up, if you watch SmackDown... The Wyatts had a match with the Usos. It was Rowan and Harper taking on the Usos. Miz was on commentary. So, at one point in the match, both Rowan and Harper get knocked out of the ring. And Bray gets up to get them back up in the ring, basically. Mm-hmm. And Miz decides, well, you know what? If Bray's gonna get up, I'm gonna get up. And then he, you know, he gets up and... He runs around the ring, and then he proceeds to... I don't know, did he kick Bray in the face, or did he knee him in the face?
I think he got his chest.
I couldn't tell where he actually hit him, but basically boot to body somewhere, and Bray got knocked down.
Hashtag boot to body?
I don't know. It works. Boots to bodies.
Boots to bodies doesn't have the same marketing ring to it.
Yeah. But basically Bray got knocked down. Bray had a mad before he started laughing, which I guess is his show of anger. But Rowan really had a mad, and Miz proceeds to take off with Rowan in extremely hot pursuit.
JBL warned him. He told Miz to run.
He did tell Miz to run. Well, Miz ran, and we then see Harper take the loss for the Wyatt family when he's left alone with the Usos. The Usos team up against Harper, and... Harper's put down for the 1-2-3, and Bray, well, is going to have his revenge as he storms off with Harper in tow.
And then,
things got weird.
Alright, I'm gonna set the stage.
Okay, you set the stage.
We have a dark, dark room back of the arena where they hang out. They walk into a gated area, a cage, as you. And you see the Wyatt. You have Bray Wyatt leading you into this dark area. And you see chained up the Miz. And Bray Wyatt, the maniacal, the cray-cray, speaks.
Follow me. Come on. This way. Follow me. Are you ready? Are you ready? Look. Poor Miz. I tried to warn him. But I fear now he will truly understand what it means to follow the buzzards.
Okay, now when we read the spoilers this week for this, we literally began to sit here after we read that and went on Twitter and tried to find pictures of this because we couldn't picture how they were going to do it. And it's like, this is either going to come off really, 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 really creepy.
Which it did.
Which it did. Or it came off, or it would come off really hokey. This came off like exceptionally creepy. I told Rock after I saw it that if this was a horror movie, Miz would be dead right now in an extremely violent, painful way. Like, it had that horror feel of they were ready to just rip him to shreds. Like, the buzzards as they are, were circling.
Mm-hmm.
And they were ready to devour Miz. I mean, this was so well done.
Well done. You had Miz, the first panda Miz, with a sheep mask over him. Then they put the mask back on to Rowan. And on the chest, ripped up shirt, with the word liar across the chest. If it was a real non-PG era, we would see blood. Lots and lots of blood.
Mm-hmm.
On Miz. And he would basically be dead. But yeah, this was a well-done little segment, and it kind of leads you to wonder where it goes. Are we going to Hell in a Cell with these two?
Well, it all depends. Do they let the Miz go or not? That's the $54,000 question.
Is the Miz still trapped by the Wyatts?
Because, well, they had him chained up, but they walked off, and they left him, so one would assume that they left Miz. And I think they said later on the show that they were medically evaluating him, so I think they did let him go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something of, is Miz even going to be ready for Sunday?
Alright, speaking of Sunday, just watching SmackDown, Bray's not ready.
No, Bray's not ready. Bray is not going to be ready to compete on Sunday, so we will probably not see Bray and Miz. But if they keep doing crap like this between the two of them, they could build to a really, really fantastic match between the two on Survivor Series.
They could, if that's the direction they go, or they do it on Raw. Doesn't matter.
Don't waste it on a Raw. Do it on Survivor Series.
Just for that, it's going to happen on SmackDown.
Shut up! No, it's... This is the kind of crap that they've been needing to do with the Wyatts all along, is this kind of where they're lurking and they're stalking and they're, it's like you see them, they've caught their prey and they've got Miz chained up and they're presenting him as a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got him, he's ours now, and we're going to make him follow the buzzards. I mean, what was the really great touch about this was the only light in the room was this overhead, like, industrial light, spotlight kind of thing. And Bray had his hand on it, and he was tilting it, and he was kind of moving it to show Miz. And then when he got done, he hit it. And it went everywhere and was sending light everywhere all over Rowan Harper and Miz and the area. And it just, it added that further creepiness to it that it needed to have. But this felt like something straight out of a horror flick.
Right. I would agree. It was really well done. It was a really creepy segment, and it's gonna. They've been doing a better job with the Wyatts lately, and good on them.
Well, I think they can kind of get away with it a little bit because they're moving into Halloween. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very curious to see what they do next week, if anything, for the Wyatts with Halloween, because SmackDown airs the day after Halloween.
But they're having people come dressed to. If you're going to the SmackDown taping, come dressed in costume. They've mentioned that. They want you in costume.
Sweet.
So people go to SmackDown in costume. It's in Florida somewhere.
I believe it's.
No, it's actually in North Carolina. No, that's the following. It's in Tampa, Florida.
It's in Tampa, Florida. Everybody, you know what? All you NXT people dress up as Bray Wyatt and freaking go to those tapings. I want to see an army of Wyatt people. Follow the buzzards. But yeah, it's the other thing that we need to talk about that came off this show was the absolutely fantastic main event from this show.
Tell the folks. I did not catch the main event, so this is on you.
The main event featured an 8-man between the Rhodes Brothers, Daniel Bryan, and Biggie Langston, which Miz was originally supposed to be part of it, but, well, we saw what happened to Miz, so Biggie got put in his place, versus The Shield and Randy Orton. This was an absolutely fantastic match. Very well executed, very well done. You got a nice teaser between the Rhodes and The Shield. You got a nice teaser between Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. And you got to see it end with Randy Orton down on his back and Daniel Bryan standing tall. And Daniel Bryan was very strong throughout this show. Mm-hmm. He confronted Triple H at the beginning of the show and he defeated Randy Orton and The Shield at the end of the show.
Well, that's what you want. You want him.
Which kind of makes me wonder about something.
Yeah, you want him looking strong, but at the same time, well, we know
how they book.
We know they're booking, so it makes you wonder.
Yeah, we know their booking style. So, will Sean do the you know right in quotations thing? But also, props to Brie Bella for taking a shot to the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she took a hard shot to the stairs. She looked dead.
Yeah, props to Brie. Thumbs up, girl. Way to go. The hair, that was a different story. But props for the shots. I'm sorry, her hair was weird tonight. I'm a girl. Deal with it.
I do.
But yeah, overall, this was a nice go-home into Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. They did a really good job selling it. The only thing that I don't want to say they haven't done a good job selling it, because they've done a good job but with what they've got, but I'm just not feeling Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena.
This goes back to June, when, if you think about it, it goes back to June with CM Punk versus Chris Jericho, which really one-sided.
Yeah, where it's like, we're not going to get Cena until the pay-per-view. Knew that going in, but it's just like the hype videos and you know, the problem is Alberto Del Rio can't talk.
He tries. Bless
he it. Tries so hard.
Bless his heart, he tries.
He really does, but yeah, I'm sorry. Alberto Del Rio he's very charming, but it's just there's like a disconnect. Where he tries really hard, he says all the right things, but he just, it's like he can't seem to cut that really good, strong heel promo.
Right.
and it's like there's a disconnect. And I guess because it's like it's Del Rio versus John Cena, and you're like, huh? What? But yeah, so this match, I'm not feeling. They tried really hard tonight, but it just is like, yeah, I honestly, no offense to WWE, I don't care.
So let's get into the matches you do care about. Let's pick some Hell in a Cell.
All right.
So Hell in a Cell is the pick-em. Do media at wildtalkradio.com, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, groups/wildtalkradio network on Facebook, twitter.com/wildtalkradio, bragging rights, memelinepromo.com. There's the shield. You know the deal by now. 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. on Sunday. That's it. Here we go. Let's start the pre-show. Intercontinental titles on the line. Curtis the Axel takes on the Big E Langston.
Crap. I would say.
I'm going Big E.
I think I'm going to go with Big E, too, just because he's the one getting the push, and also for what's going to happen later in the night to Paul Heyman, I can see Axel losing it, because I can see Paul Heyman putting all his time and effort into his match with Ryback, and he's not there for Axel, and because he's not there for Axel, he loses.
So we have Big E retaining the title. That's a pre-show. 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Watch it on the YouTube. Divas champion AJ Lee defends against the Brie Bella.
I hate to call this one, but I think AJ's gonna lose.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. I say Brie Bella takes home the title. I think it's time for her to drop the belt.
I think it's time for her to drop the belt. She's had a really nice run with it. And I love AJ Lee as champion, but AJ is almost going to be better at this stage chasing it. Because I think, honestly, Nikki and Brie are going to find a way to neutralize Tamina, whether it's with the other Total Divas, or it's another way, but they will figure out a way to neutralize Tamina, which will allow Brie to pick up the victory. And also, Total Divas is coming back in 2 weeks.
November 10th.
So it would make sense at this stage for the title to now go over to Brie to help promote the show.
Which everyone
so that way the title continues to get exposure.
Right, and everyone was talking about how that was going to happen a few weeks ago. Told you it was going to wait till the show comes back. Brie gets the belt now.
Yeah, I think it's time for Brie to get the belt. And then you have AJ Lee, you have her chase.
And Brie's reign won't be a long
one. For a little bit, or she gets a break.
Yeah. Brie's reign won't be a long one. It'll probably be 6 to 8 weeks, and then AJ will probably get the belt back.
Yeah, Brie will probably hold it till the end of, I would say end of the year.
I don't think that
will. At least till the end of the run of the show.
I don't, maybe. We'll see. It won't be a long reign.
No, it won't be long, but AJ will get the belt back at some point. It's just, now it's time for it to go to somebody else. Because it will help add a new dimension to AJ's character. And help move her forward as well.
Los Matadores takes on the real Americans.
Matadores. And the not PG Flippy Bowl.
Yeah. Matadores. Though, I want to see the bull get swung.
You want to see the bull get what?
Swung. The giant swing. I want to see him go round and round and round and round and round. I want to see him go round and round.
I don't know if we'll see the bull get swung, but.
Come on.
We may see it. We may not. I somehow sincerely doubt it, but
anyway, Matadors win.
Yeah, Even though they had them lose at a dark taping,
Dark means nothing. The WWE Tag Team titles are on. Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins versus the Usos.
This is a hard one to call.
Oh, it's a simple one. Goldust and Cody.
You're going Goldust and Cody?
Mm-hmm. Simple.
I want to see the Usos get it, but yeah. I can see Goldust and Cody retaining, so Goldust and Cody.
Disagree with me, would you, woman? God.
The sky's orange.
It's blue. Anyway. So we're both going with the Goldust and Cody.
Yes.
Okay. CM Punk versus the Ryback and the Heyman inside Hell in a Cell.
Oh, Punk. Punk all the way. It's time for this to, for Punk to move on to something else. It's time for Heyman to fall. And yeah, I see Punk winning, unless some other shenanigans happen, because Big E will neutralize Curtis Axel. So Axel is out of the picture, and it's going to be Wacka Heyman.
Yeah, Punk. I was leaning towards Ryback and Heyman. Punk gets his. I have a feeling this is going to be a feel-good show, so Punk gets his.
Yeah, it's... You now move Punk on to someone else, and, you know, basically...
I wouldn't say he moves on, I just think he gets his win.
Well, yeah, I think he gets his win, but I don't want to see Punk feud with Ryback. I don't like Ryback.
Feed me more. Anyway. So we've agreed on everything?
So far.
World Heavyweight titles on the line. Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena. I'm going Del Rio. I said it Sunday. Del Rio keeps the belt. And I say he wins clean. Wins clean, kind of. There will be a fall and he keeps the belt. He pins... Pins John Cena.
I'm going to go with Del Rio, but I say he actually makes John Cena tap out.
There you go. So that's our really only disagreement. Is I say pin, you say tap out.
Well, it's... as much good as it would do Cena to get that belt, it's going to kill any momentum Del Rio has to lose. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to build Del Rio as your second top heel, then he needs to beat Superman, and he needs to do it clean, and he needs to do it strong.
Right.
And what better way to beat Cena, beat Superman, than to make Superman tap out for that injury? Because they keep bringing up the fact that, you know, like they said tonight on SmackDown, Cena has come back early from every injury he's ever had. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Which means he may not be ready.
Yeah, that's very true. And then in your main event, the WWE titles on the line. Hell in a Cell, Shawn Michaels special guest referee. Randy Orton, the face of WWE, versus Daniel Bryan.
I was going to go Bryan, but now I'm kind of wondering if it's going to be Orton.
I told you weeks ago it should be Randy Orton, just because there's more options. They're going with Bryan. They gotta go with Bryan on this one. They gotta. They gotta make whether it was the plan or not, they have to make the fans happy this time around. And making the fans happy probably overrides who wins the belt. Ryan gets it. Shenanigans play a big factor in it.
Yeah, there's going to be shenanigans abounding in this match. I'm still going to stick with Brian as my original pick, just because at this stage, Brian needs the win. He needs to basically have that title, and he needs to win clean over Orton, so there's no disrupting. Even though they can say, you know, they can argue favoritism by Shawn Michaels, it's not enough for them to strip Brian of the title this time. Like, they need to do it in a circumstance where it's not enough for Hunter and Steph to go, well, we actually have a logical reason to do it other than we just want to be jerks. But I can see it being Orton, just because Shawn is really, even though he wants to go with his heart, he knows he has to do what's best for business, and that is count Orton's shoulders down. Just because he sees so much of himself in Daniel Bryan, and that kills him to do it. But he's got to do what's best for business. But I can also see Shawn kicking Orton in the face and Bryan getting the pin.
I can see that too. I can see Big Show coming out, knocking out Randy Orton. Bryan wins. There's many scenarios.
The only reason is I see Bryan not getting the title this time around is you have the corporation or the authority, whatever you want to call them. Orton gets the belt. They think they've won. They think that they've beaten Bryan. Bryan sort of fades off a little bit. He cools down a little bit, and then you have Bryan come back and win the Royal Rumble and go for a title match at Mania and win the title at Mania.
Yeah, I like that scenario, because I think I pitched that at one point somewhere down the line.
One of us pitched it. I can see that, where you have the authority get their moment, where it's they've got their corporate champion and they've got their quote unquote face of the WWE. You know, Hunter's got Shawn in his pocket, everything is golden. And because then it really, you set up that great fall for them to have later on down the line.
Right.
Like, that's how I can kind of see it.
But you're still going Brian.
I'm still going Brian, because I think they're going to have to give the feel-good moment. I think it's something of, you have Brian win, and you have him hold it. It's not a long reign.
TLC,
I would guess. But at the same time, it's like, the problem is like, if Brian wins, what the hell do you do with Brian after that? Because the feud with Orton should technically be over. Brian got his moment, and now Hunter's got to throw somebody else at Brian. Big Show's fired at this stage, and he's rebelling against Hunter, so he's not going to come back to face Orton, or I'm sorry, to face Brian to take the title off Brian. Even though the rumor feud is going to be Orton, Show, and Brian. But it's like, that's like the biggest problem is, you know, if you have Brian win on Sunday, what do you do with him? Where do you go with him from there?
Not enough heels for him to work with for this top spot. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
I mean, it makes more sense to me to have Orton win, and then you had let Brian cool off a little bit, cool down, maybe still be right there, like right on the edge, but not necessarily right where he was. And then that way it's like you can have him come back in January and win the Royal Rumble and like go in as number one or two and win the Rumble. And he calls for the WWE title match at WrestleMania.
Right.
And he gets his big moment at Mania, as opposed to, like, at Hell in a Cell.
That's quite possible as well. So, we'll see. But officially, Brian and me picked every single match the same.
Okay, well then, never mind, King Kittens. You have no job to do, so.
Well, yay. Everyone else would have picked different, I think. But, yeah. We're one mind, things alike, this time around.
Yep, the one mind, we're not divided.
So we either do really, really well, or really, really bad.
Yep.
So anyway, that's it, that's
That's pretty much all we got for the off-the-cuff show. Yeah, we just wanted to do a little something this week just so we could get our picks and our opinions out there about Hell in a Cell. Also to talk about Impact and the phenomenal Bray Wyatt promo, because, oh my god, we are so talking about that after we go off the air.
I know.
So, yeah, a big, 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 huge thank you again to Jimmy J and Impact Wrestling. Thank you so much for coming out to Salt Lake. I hope you guys had fun. I hope it was worth it for you. I hope one day you can come back. And I hope one day you can go back on the road. I really, really, really do.
We'll get more into what's happening with TNA next Thursday on the show.
Absolutely. I'd also like to give a big, huge shout-out to our sponsors, PW Mania, for all your news needs, TNA Asylum, The Haven for TNA fans, for all your TNA needs, and, of course, Memorabilia Lane, memlanepromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs, including WWE and TNA merchandise. So, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Tune into Hell in a Cell Sunday. Tune into WTR Sunday. And when can they hear that, Rock?
They can hear that Sunday, 11 p.m. Eastern. Before that, they can hear CB Radio Midnight-ish. Talking some Halloween, talking some band stuff from Ace, and a whole bunch more. It's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual. It's retarded. CB Radio Midnight-ish Saturday. And then we're all posted Monday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And back Thursday night, Halloween edition. Well, this show, The Rack, we're going to get all creepy up in this hizzle. I don't know.
Kool-Aid.
Pumpkin Kool-Aid.
Yes, pumpkin Kool-Aid. I don't know.
Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/RackRadioShow, buy a shirt, WTRProductions.net. Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Time for me to pimp?
Yeah.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you go into the Contact Us, there is a link to my Redbubble store where I have select pieces available for sale if you'd like to buy them. They come in shirts, note cards, stickers, whatever you want. They are there, and it includes the Wyatt series. That's right. The portrait of a Wyatt, a Rowan, and a Harper are available for sale, including in the Sister Abigail Student of the Month little thing that I did. So go check that out. Please tell your friends if they're a fan of the Wyatts. Please tell them to buy it. That would be very, very, very handy. Also, visit CassieRiley.net for all your needs and listen to all the other fine programming on this show, or on this show and on this network, because, you know, I'm really tired right now. Sorry. So for Rock, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!